Muy buenas tardes a todos los ministros, hermanos y hermanas que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas.
Good afternoon to all the ministers, brothers and sisters who are connected through the Amazonas satellite and the Eutelsat satellite in different countries. And also a very warm greeting to our beloved brother, Miguel Bermudez Marin. Today, Friday, July 18th of this year, 2025, it is truly a great blessing and a privilege that the Lord grants me to address all of you from Kampala, Uganda. We arrived yesterday, or last night, early in this morning, and the words that I brought you all when we were headed from the airport to the place where we would be staying, there, since it was already early in the morning, already past 12, I had already mentioned the 19th. I thought that it was already Saturday 19th, but it was Friday. It was Friday the 18th. And since early morning, today, Friday, we are here in Kampala, Uganda, these days. Then, we will also be in India. So we trust from God to receive His word to be imparted in these places, and may it be the word that works and carries out everything, because everything is done by the spoken word. We see all the way from Genesis how it shows us there. Everything was created by the spoken word. Our eternal and glorified bodies that we will receive them by the spoken word. Therefore, we expect great blessings from God and the fulfillment of what needs to be fulfilled, and it's established by the word that is spoken, and may that word that is spoken continue to produce and continue to germinate and bring forth fruits and everything pertaining to what will be spoken later on in the act of that word that will be spoken. Our subject for today is casting the net based on the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was a message preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on Saturday, March 8th of 2014 in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. He read to us the scripture from the Gospel according to Luke on chapter 5, verse 1 and on, where it tells us, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were watching their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." Now, look at what a beautiful scenario there. He stands, begins to speak from a certain place there where he was, but the people would get closer to him, surely. Well, while speaking, perhaps the people in the back couldn't hear him because of so many people crowding near him, to the point that he then decided, he looked to the side and he sees there were some ships. Well, since no one would go into the water to get close to him, but they would instead stay in the shore, he is then the one that goes on the ship, and on that ship is where he speaks to the multitude. Now, notice that the waters represents the nations, the peoples, and from there, he then speaks to the multitude, always from a place, notice, already determined by God, he speaks. like the small detail there that Brother Branham told us, surely they looked for a stool for Joshua to stand on, see? There is always a place where the messenger is placed. It's like in the sixth dimension, they put Brother Branham on a high place. And from there, notice, he spoke to them because he was their leader. He says, why are you putting me here? Oh, because on earth you were a leader. Notice the position that the people placed the messenger of their time. And that is like that here in this dimension and also in the sixth dimension. Now, even more so in his first coming, notice, he's placed on the throne of, in the seventh dimension. But we also see that there are those two additional cherubim of gold there, which Solomon placed in the temple, which in heaven represents Gabriel and Michael. Now, let's continue here. It says, now, when, I'll continue in verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And to the left he draws a Star of David. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And he draws a Star of David on the left. And their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. At the draught of the fishes which they had taken, there on verse 8, he also draws a Star of David on the left. And on verse 6, he also drew a Star of David. For he was astonished at and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And he draws a Star of David to the left. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And he draws a Star of David on the left, casting the net based on the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may please be seated. It tells us in the message, investments. Brother Branham narrates this scripture to us a bit here. Look, he says on page 29, and when Simon sat on that chunk of wood, perhaps that day, when Andrew taken him down to the seashore where Jesus, after they toiled all night and seen nothing in their nets, sat down there, and he borrowed the boat from this Peter. And then he said, after he got through using the boat, Peter might have listened to his talk and maybe halfway put his fingers in his ears, sitting on this chunk out there, when Jesus floating around out in his boat on account of the press. Then we find out that out there in the boat, Jesus must have beckoned to Simon to bring the boat in. And when he went out there and said, now, I know you have toiled all night and taken nothing, but there is fish on this side now. Cast your net in, and there is a draught of fish waiting. And there to the left he writes, Peter, fish. Well, it's still just a word. It's still just a word. But when he throwed the net in and began to pull, there was the fish. That also meant that there was the Messiah that his father had told him about, a prophet. And he said, "Depart from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." And he said, "Fear not, Simon. Now you have seen the truth. From henceforth, you will be a fisher of men." And he writes to the left, "Peter, fisher of men." Peter, fisher of men. Peter was ready to leave his fish nets, his business. He made a complete investment in Jesus Christ, because he saw that that was the promised Messiah, for there was the word that he spoke made manifest, and that was the Messiah. He knew that that's what the word said, that his old Pharisee father had told him that the Messiah would be the incarnate word, and he will be a prophet making this promise of the Messiah to come to pass. And there it was. So Peter made his investment after he had seen the identification, the vindication of the word. How did Peter see it? Notice, he saw it being manifested in a man. There he had the fulfillment of what his father had told him, that the Messiah would be a prophet, and there he was. That is why when he identified him, he let go of everything and followed him, and he became a fisher of men. Now, look, in this message that Dr. William Soto preached to us, it was a greeting to ministers and helpers on December 29 of 2001 in Cayey, Puerto Rico. He says, "In the time in which Christ finishes his work of intercession, the tenth vision that Reverend William Branham had will also be completely fulfilled." Now, look, in that vision that God showed Brother Branham through his angel, on page 12, paragraph 97, it tells us, in a little part here, when he is already narrating on page 12, the paragraph on the right, on top, about a fourth of the way down, where he begins to say, "I saw a hand move out in front of me, from my right side, and as it did, I seemed to go into a still another higher dimension. I could no longer hear Mera, my wife, in the room. I was standing by the side of a beautiful lake, and I have never seen such a clear water in my life. When I first went into the ministry 9 years ago, I had seen a vision, and I was catching fish. But the fish had a big white and black spots on them. They didn't look right. But now in this vision, I saw in the clear water great beautiful rainbow trouts, and the lake was extremely large. All around stood hundreds and hundreds of ministers catching little fish. I said in my heart, I'm as good a fisher as they are, or even better than they are. They wanted to catch a large fish, beautiful fish." He writes there, on the left, 153 fish. In other words, in number form, he writes, 153 fish. Notice that there is a writing from our brother William in a Bible study referring to that excerpt that they placed him, included for him in a Bible study, and he writes there, "William Marion Branham, or WMB, tried to catch the big fish. He tried, notice, to reach that stage to be able to catch those big fish." Now, notice something here, that in what we read, in chapter 5 of Luke, on verse, on the fifth verse, Peter is telling him there that they were working all night and they had not caught anything. That is referring there to the dispensation of grace, where where those big fish were still not present yet at that time there. Now, Brother Branham, knowing this, being in the dispensation of grace, here he tries to say, well, or he tries to show the ministers that he knows how to fish. But for him, knowing what the third pool would be, notice that he tried to fulfill it. But by doing so, he then shows them the first and the second pool. He makes them known to the ministers, and the angel reprimands him there. But notice that by him not making known the third pool, because he was forbidden from doing so, and it was not told to the ministers, he just kept that a secret. He kept it for himself, and he says, I will take this to my grave, to the grave. That is, a human being in this world will never know it. And notice that he departed, and he didn't say anything about what that would be like. Now, at this end time, since that is already in fulfillment, you can then see that this revolution, both religious and political, begins. And God begins to carry out that work, and many ministers then, since they do not know, because the way it was being done isn't explained to them, the way the first and the second pool were explained, they then start to fight against it. Those ministers that do not follow the pillar of fire, which we see speaking to someone above, in that vision, and by not continuing with the pillar of fire, that is, by not following the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which God is operating at this end time, which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah, then they fight against it. But notice, that happened in the first and the second pool, when Brother Branham explained them. But look, they then started to do the same thing, and their sight strayed. The people's sight strayed towards those ministers. And they also started, in a certain way, to fight against Brother Branham. And if that happened in the first and the second pool, by him saying it and explaining it, and those ministers seeing that it indeed worked, even more so with the third pool, where the way it works is not made known. In other words, we see something there that is parallel to the first and second pool that Brother Branham made known. Now, look, it goes on to say, I wanted to catch a large, beautiful fish and began to prepare my line and lure. Then, from my right side, behind me, came the same voice of the angel of the Lord who had spoken to me since I was a little child, saying, I will teach you how to fish, but you must keep quiet, don't say anything about it. I answered, I will. He said, fasten on your lure. This I did. Then he said, now, to catch those big fish, you have to go way out in the deep water. Now, he writes there, on the right upwards, he draws a star of David and he writes, the big fish today equals in the third pool, a colon in the last catch of fish, and another colon, fisherman. He writes, fisherman. And there he writes, the, and he, that is, the fisherman, the, well, the ministries of Moses and Elijah that are the reaping angels, and he, well, the Lord in his coming. Now, the angel continues to narrate everything there, and then he reveals the first and the second pool, exactly what the Brother Branham was told not to do. Then he did it, and there were many impersonators in Brother Branham's time. Now, He goes on to say here, where we are, in the part of this message of greetings to ministers and collaborators, he says, the foolish virgins or sleeping virgins will also be delivered at that time. They will be delivered from denominational bondage. That is what he shows us in this vision that was shown to Brother Branham or Dream on page 163 of the Book of Quotations. Paragraph 12 or 1458, paragraph 1458, it tells us, that is in the message, let's see here, in the message, works is faith expressed, that excerpt is from there, and he says, I don't dream very often, I'm not a dreamer, but I dreamed that I seen a man, a young man. And here in the message, in the booklet, he writes, on the left, young fellow. A young fellow in shackles, and he was trying to get out. And I said, somebody told me, said, those are horrible people, don't have nothing to do with them. Here in the message, because here in this book of quotations that I have, well, the translation is different. In the booklet, it says, a young fellow in shackles, and he was trying to get out, and I said, somebody told me. Somebody told me. And there on top of somebody told me, he writes, his mother-in-law. And he writes, and others. Those are horrible people, don't have nothing to do with them. Remember when that happened? And I seen this young fellow getting out of his shackles. So I just let him alone, I thought. I'll just see what he does. So when he got out, he was a nice fellow, and I seen others trying to get out. Now, here at the bottom, on page 163, there he writes, the deliverance of the people from, and they're from, but it is cut off there, of the people from denominations, because that is what he is referring to. And there, he writes above that paragraph, he writes, the house of hell. Now, turning to 164 of the Book of Quotations, that is where it continues, and I will be reading from the booklet here, and also seeing what he writes over here. Now, this is only a dream, and I walked over this way, and I seen a brother, Roy Borders, a very good friend of mine, lives in California, looked like there's something wrong, his eyes was half closed, and a great big, maybe cancer or something over his eyes. And here in the booklet he circles, cancer, and I, somebody was trying to pull me away from him. And I screamed, Brother Borders, in the name of the Lord Jesus, snap out of that. And he just snapped out of that. He underlines that a lot in the booklet. And he just barely could speak and saying, Brother Branham, it'll have to take something more than this. I just cannot grasp it. Brother Branham, I just can't grasp it. I said, oh, Brother Borders, I love him. He underlines, I love him. And someone pulled me away. He underlines, pull me away a lot there as well. And I looked, and it was a lady standing over here that I, when I was a little boy, I used to haul groceries from the grocery store to the people, and her name was Mrs. Fenton. She lives in Jeffersonville yet, a personal friend to my wife and I. And she said, Brother Branham, deliver us from this. said, this is a house of hell. And where it says, and she said, Brother Branham, there he writes there in the booklet, he writes, Elijah, you have been misunderstood. Here in the book of quotations, above he writes, hell equals Laodicea, house of Satan. It is a little bit cut off there. Now, he continues to say here, I am in the booklet, turn into the booklet. You've been misunderstood and said this, and you misunderstood these people too, said, these are fine people, but, and I looked over there, and like a great big cellar, and he writes above Laodicea, or big walls down beneath a great big cave, and great iron bars, 8 or 10 inches thick, people out of their mind, twisted arms and legs, beating their head like that, meaning how, like people who are insane, like crazy people. And she was crying, saying, deliver the people, Brother Branham, said, help us, we are in trouble. She herself, I know her, she belonged to the, I believe, the Church of Christ, or the Christian Church, called Church of Brethren. And he writes above, Laodicea, brotherly love. Above brethren, brotherly love. So she, now, let's pause for a moment, and in this message, recognizing your day and its message, notice, here on page, let's see, here on page 10, there he speaks to us about the vision of the bride. It's page 9 and 10, you can read it, the whole thing later on. But there's a short part that it says, and remember the vision of last week, that when the bride came to be, preview of it, there came up the little bride, lovely in a vision, and I, not thinking about it, just sitting there, watching outside, and there came the bride. I heard a voice by the side of me said, here is a preview of the bride. And she came by, I noticed her, the way she was, very lovely, pretty, young. And at the bottom he writes, the bride that was born on the day of Pentecost was a Jewish bride. He continues to say, she was walking just a step as she could, not a march, just in the stride of a woman, how they walk gracefully, ladylike. That's the way she was walking, coming to my left on the side, and she went out of my sight. Then he turned me to the right side, and he showed me each church as they've come up out of the ages, and oh, how vulgar. And the last one was the last day church age. And he writes above Pentecostals, Laodicea, which was led by a witch. And he writes on the right, Revelation 13, a witch leads Laodicea. And on the left, he writes, the bride, dash, left, Laodicea, dash, right. And on top, he writes, the vision of the bride, the first bride, a dash, the one from the day of Pentecost, the churches, dash, the ages, the second bride, a dash, the one from the year of Pentecost. Now, he continues with all of that, talking about the bride. In this same message, in a place here, he also speaks to us. Let me see if I can find it. Where he tells us that she is led by a witch. It's somewhere here. Here it is. It's the bride out of step. But there's another place where he writes. Let's see if it's in this other one. where he also speaks to us on page 41, the masterpiece. Here he also tells us, on page 41-42, from page 35 from the booklet in English, let's just see a short part here, and it says, look, it says, and then I have to watch her. She'll get out of step with that word if I don't watch. When she's passing by, if she gets by, maybe it'll be my time when I'm over, see? Now, at that time, it is a time when Brother Branham already departed, and notice, he has departed. And he is no longer here in the time in which this has been seen here. But the ministry of Elijah is there, was there in that vision or in that dream when he told Brother Branham, deliver these people, but he is no longer here, and he puts Elijah. Notice, because it is the ministry that stays. It is the ministry that stays. Notice that there is a place here that I was reading from these days as well. Let's pause for a little bit here in this other one of the masterpiece. In this message, the sign of the time, Brother Branham tells us here, in this message, on page 12 and page 13, but it's page 12. Look, it says, in a short part here from the booklet in English, it says, it hasn't changed, spirits don't die. The same spirits was in them people are in these people today. The devil takes his man, but never his spirit. God takes his man, but never his spirit. And look, he writes on the back, he writes, the spirits of those who die, the evil spirits that were in the people of the past, remain on earth in other people. Now notice how the ministering spirits that God operates in each age and in each dispensation, when he promises to send it again, well, he doesn't send the prophet literally, that veil of flesh where God operated that ministry. It is not that he sends that same veil of flesh again, but rather his spirit, the ministering spirit. But notice, likewise, on the other side, it's the same thing with the devil. The devil does the same thing. He takes his man, but he leaves the spirit on earth, which manifests itself through his instruments. In other words, the same thing that this spirit worked to begin with on God's side, the same thing that worked for the blessing of the elect and for the curse of those who reject it, is the same thing that it does when God sends this ministering spirit again. It is a blessing to the elect who receives him, and a curse to those who reject it. And on the devil's side, well, the same thing that that spirit does or did in the past, when that spirit manifests itself again, well, we see it manifested in new veils of flesh, and they do exactly the same thing. If back in that time were people there, impersonators, there were mockers, there were people who blasphemed, the messenger, the group, they scoffed, they called it fanatism and all those things. At this time, when you see people doing the same thing, there you can identify those spirits of the fifth dimension manifested in human beings, in other people. As simple as that. The works show which spirit they are of. Therefore, everything you see in favor of the work of the program that God is carrying out is of God. Everything you see against the divine program, against the work that God is carrying out, is of the devil. As simple as that. Now, he continues to say here, he says, what? That was getting back, trying their best. That was getting back. Just get in line. Because they was looking out somewhere else, watching about that church. And above he writes, Laodicea, that just went out into chaos. But two, an ellipsis, the front ones never, the back ones, just two or three of them, was kind of stepped out a little bit to the right-hand side. And here on the left he writes, the vision of the bride may be when he is on the other side. He also writes there, right side. He draws a cornerstone and the ages as well on the left. And it looked like was trying to get back in line as they went by. Here on the right upwards he writes, the right equals right, the bride equals left. And he also writes there, one must walk in the center of the promised, vindicated, fulfilled word for the moment, for the age of the grain, the age of the cornerstone. Now, he goes on to say, here in this message of that we are reading, the message titled, Works is Faith Expressed, where we pause there. And in the book of quotations, it's 164, but it belongs to the paragraph 1458, which is coming of page 163. There he goes on to say, now, let's see here where we paused. He says, I looked around and I said, I wished I could. And go on looking around, and I, an ellipsis, my little bitty body, and them great big iron bars, and those poor people there, and you couldn't get to them. Here, in the book of quotations, there on the right, he draws a star. And you couldn't get to them. Them iron bars was setting close together. And I looked, and they were beating their heads like they were out of their mind. See? In other words, there he already identifies the state that those people were in. And I seen some light flickering around in there, and I looked up. Now, there, in the book of quotations on the left, I looked up, he writes, Revelation 10 from 1 to 11. Where do we have to look after the ages and after the seventh age? And after the dispensation of grace, we must look up. If you do not look up and you look somewhere else and you get out of step and look down, you end up like these people that he saw there, who are good people. But notice, a witch leads that, just like back in the time of Elijah, that witch Jezebel was leading. And I looked up, and there stood the Lord Jesus with a light of rainbow around him. Here, in light of rainbow, in the booklet, he also writes Revelation 10, 1 to 6. He was looking right straight to me, said, "Deliver those people," and he went away. On the top right, he writes Revelation 10 from 1 to 11, 7 from 9 to 17, 15 from 2 to 4. Now, who gives Elijah the commission to carry out that deliverance? Is that mighty angel, the coming of the mighty angel, is the angel of the covenant. It is the same one that Brother Branham saw in the vision of the pillar of fire speaking to someone above. One of the things that he was speaking to him was about deliverance. Look what a beautiful picture we see in all of this. Now, he continues to say, and that angel of the covenant is Christ. Now, he goes on to say, and there stood the Lord Jesus with lights of rainbow around him. He was looking right straight to me, said, deliver those people, and he went away. Because God always works through his instruments. He could have had carried out that work himself, but he always uses a veil of flesh. A veil of flesh that is in effect and who is alive. And I thought, well, how could I deliver them? I haven't got strength enough in my arms to break those bars. So I said, house of hell, give away to the name of Jesus Christ. And notice, here he writes, the new one. Because in the dispensation of the kingdom is where he is carrying out his claiming work with a new name, not with the name of Jesus Christ. And all the creaking and popping and rocks rolling and bars falling and people running, screaming, delivered, and screaming at the top of their voice, and was all delivered. Now, look, any person might see this, and we're going to touch on something here. In this place, where we read from this message, the sign of the time, there is something here that I would also like to read a little part here. And notice, it says, page 11, let's stop there for a moment there where we're reading from the book of quotations and works is faith expressed. It says, in the message, The Sign of the Time, preached by Reverend William Branham, page 11 from the book in English, it says, I was preaching at our tabernacle some time ago, and oh, the Holy Spirit got into the meeting, and some woman began weeping with her hands up. In other words, she had repented. That is the most beautiful thing that can be seen. Or look, a person may also repent and not show those visible signs or those acts of crying or lifting their hands up, and the person may also stay quiet and be repenting and also be sincere in that. And show the same thing, but internally, they don't necessarily have to cry and lift the hands. That is, because notice, man looks at visible things like that, but God looks at the heart. And that is where he sees if the person is sincere, what he's thinking, what he's plotting, or if he is truly repentant from the heart. Not by the physical things that are seen. But here, we see someone who is showing it, and Brother Branham is seeing it. And he is saying and describing how he looked. He saw tears, he saw hands lifted up, a hand that woman hands lifted up, because there might have also been a person repenting right next to her, but who wasn't crying and didn't have their hands up. So how can Brother Branham say, and her heart was weeping, and the hands of the heart were lifted up? See? He could also see that, being a prophet. And he could also see what was visible. To explain this part about a bleeding heart, crying heart, it could be difficult for him to show the people or talk to the people about that. Maybe they wouldn't understand it. That was something personal to him, and he kept it to himself, like the prophets when they keep the things that they know about the people. They don't tell them, and they let people act, and they can go on doing things, and they think that the prophet doesn't know them. Like when Elisha's servant, was it him? Did everything he did, and then he returned and came inside of it as if nothing had happened. And Elisha asked him, as if he didn't know, "Where were you?" "Well, I wasn't here, I haven't left." "Oh, you haven't left, is that right? Really? You were here?" "Yes, yes, yes, I was here." Oof. He gave him the opportunity of the century there, as they say. "Was not my spirit with you when you went where Nathan was?" Now, notice, he was not lying to Elisha there. He was lying to the one that was in Elisha. Now, if he had told him, "I need that, may I go ask him for it?" Well, look, it's not the time to take that, or it would be better to leave it because I, well, handle it here. Or he might have also told him, "Well, look, yes, tell him that I won't use that, any of that, but you need it, and go in my name, go ask for it in my name," and that would be counted in his favor. Like when there was the case that we read recently, or a month ago, that spoke about the things that those people took, a cursed thing, they took them at the wrong time, and later they come, God comes and tells them, "Take everything." Now notice, there is always a time for each thing, and one can't jump ahead, because you can end up on bad terms with God, and as a deceiver, a liar, which Brother Branham said that the days of Ananias and Sapphira would return, would happen again. The Ananiases and Sapphiras have always been present at all times, and this time would not be the exception. Now, look, here Brother Branham is narrating this part which says, "And some woman began weeping with her hands up, and a couple days afterwards, I met a Sunday school teacher from the First Baptist Church." He said, "Billy, I was standing outside." That is, in that same meeting, that activity, I was standing outside. "They don't like me too well because I preach divine healing." Meaning they don't like him, this person. "They don't like me too well because I preach divine healing. I preach the full gospel, what Christ died, a full gospel, the full redemption." And he said, "I was enjoying your message till that woman began to cry." And he said, "That just made shivers go up my back." I said, "You mean that dear sainted old mother sitting back there weeping, and it made shivers go up your back when she was rejoicing in the spirit? If you'd ever get to heaven, you would freeze to death, boy. You're going to hear plenty of it when we get there. Because the Bible said so." Then he got all excited because the First Baptist Church, listen, look, Brother Branham then says this part regarding the man he's speaking about that Sunday school teacher from a Baptist church. "Then he got all excited because the First Baptist Church has a ball team. And I heard them over behind my house screaming till they couldn't hear yourself think.
que no se puede escuchar, pensar. Entonces,
you couldn't hear yourself think. And I said, what was all that noise over there? Meaning, the teacher says, she was there with, she began to cry there with her hands lifted up, that, oh, I got the shivers because of that. Surely she was praising God there, glorifying God. And Brother Branham now says to her, what about that noise that you make over there? That is in that soccer game. He said, you know Charlie Nolan? I said, yes. He said, he hit a home run and three men on base. In other words, he knew that very well. I said, what were you so excited about? If you say that woman was a holy roller, then you must be a unholy roller. That's right, see? It's just become so modernized, it's left God out of its program. Now look, Brother William writes there, she does it praising God. And who are you shouting about? He doesn't write it in a question, because he doesn't put it at the end, but it is understood as a question. And who are you shouting about? Notice, and many, even at this time as well, they see a game, or they see something, or when it's soccer season, goal, goal, and you see that they shout. And perhaps the same person sees the revival that God is carrying out at this end time, and he sees people repented from their heart for everything that they have done in their life, who repent for having done wrong, for having acted wrong, for walking in the wrong path, and repented in their heart, because they do it from the heart, because they love the work, because they don't want to be lost, because they want eternal life, because they want eternal and glorified bodies, then they criticize them and call them fanatics and a bunch of holy rollers. Yet, they shout over a goal or over a home run or a good basketball move or something. Yet, they criticize that sinner who wants to fix his life, who wants to be in good standing with the Creator of heavens and the earth, and he wants to walk in his presence the days that he has left to prepare himself for his transformation. And who are you shouting about? We can say in the age of the cornerstone, we shout, we worship, we glorify God for what he has done in his holy mercy, which he has extended upon us. Because what would become of us if he hadn't extended this time of mercy? Look, what he told us would happen. We would be going into, or we would already be at the end of the Great Tribulation. We would be headed straight there. But thank God for his mercy. Thank God that he has looked upon us through those merciful eyes, through those eyes of those ministries of Moses and Elijah, which God has extended that mercy through them. And he has forgiven us, he has justified us, and he has put us beside him in the dispensation of the kingdom and in the most holy place, close to him, where he is whispering the thunders to us, making known to us that new name, and making known to us the rapturing faith, to live from here to the marriage supper of the Lamb. All of this in the Messianic age, all of this in the age of the cornerstone, all of this in the king's chamber, in the upper room. Now, look, it continues to say here in this page, I am on page 30 of Works is Faith Expressed, which is 164 of this paragraph 1458. He continues saying there, and all the creaking and popping, and rocks rolling, and bars falling, and people running, screaming, delivered, and screaming at the top of their voice, and was all delivered. And I was screaming then, Brother Roy Borders, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? God is delivering his people. Where are you, Brother Borders? I've wondered about that. Here in the Book of Quotations, he writes there, the deliverance of the people of God from denominations. And he also writes there, real thing there, he writes, I'm in the Book of Quotations, he writes, Roy Borders equals follower of the forerunner by the printed word. He had the management of the printing press. Now, look, he goes on to say here, in the message that we began reading of greetings to ministers and collaborators, Dr. William Soto goes on to say, that is why we have to wait for certain things that corresponds to that time. But we have to be working on the things that corresponds to the time that precedes the taking and the opening of the Book of the Seven Seals in heaven. Notice, the things that preceded were what had to be done at that time. Now we can see the reason why we are still on earth, and although the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is crying out for Christ to take the title deed, to open it in heaven and claim everything He has redeemed and to transform us, we are waiting for Him to do it. And that is why, and for that reason, He must first complete His church. Therefore, ministers, workers, and helpers, onward, working in the work of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ, so that the number of God's elect in the mystical body of the Lord Jesus Christ may be completed soon. In the message, in his presence, there on page 18, Reverend William Branham says, Peter, a fisherman, knowed nothing about fishing or knowed nothing about God. Only thing he probably knowed was how to catch fish. But when he come in the presence of God and see the great Creator who could create fish, when he told him to let down the nets for the draw, there where it says, in the presence of God and see the great Creator who could create fish, an arrow there on the left, and he draws a cornerstone and a star of David inside. And he writes there, this is how it is today in the age of the cornerstone and dispensation of the kingdom in Latin America and the Caribbean. There wasn't any fish there. He just pulled his net up, but he said, at thy word, Lord, I believe that you're the Son of God. If you let, an ellipsis, if I let down the net, you told me to do it at your word, because you and your word are the same. I let down the net, and when he began to pull, he said, depart, Lord, I am a sinful man. See, a fisherman, after Peter met Christ, he was never the same anymore. He afterward was so true to God, he was given the keys to the kingdom. And he writes to the right, the keys to the kingdom. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, it is at this stage that we are now working to complete the number of the elect of God. John didn't understand why Christ did not step forward, who is our kinsman redeemer. But notice, there was a reason. On page 84 from the Book of the Seals, it tells us, at the bottom, from the book in Spanish, it says, no matter he falls asleep in the first watch, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh, wherever he falls asleep, what will happen? The trumpet of God shall sound, that last trump will blast forth, the same time that the last angel is given his message, and the last seal is open. There on the right he writes, trumpet, and he draws a cornerstone and the ages and the seventh age. That last trumpet will sound, and the Redeemer comes forth to take his redeemed possession, his church, blood washed. Now, oh, the whole creation lays in his hand now. And there to the left, he also writes upwards the last trumpet, and he also draws a corner and the ages. And at the beginning of that paragraph, he writes future. There he also writes seventh watch, and a little bit above he writes fourth watch, 6 to 9 a.m. Now, all the whole creation lays in his hand now, on which the whole plan of redemption is sealed by seven mysterious seals in this book that he took. Now watch, and he alone can reveal it to whomever he will, and he's got it in his hand. See, now he promised it would be at that time now, for it is sealed by seven seals of mystery. the book of redemption. And on the left he writes, when the seventh seal is opened, the last trumpet will sound. When was that last trumpet going to sound? When the seventh seal was opened, and the seventh seal was going to be opened, Reverend William Branham says, in a great tent cathedral. Now, look, on page 102 of the Book of the Seals, he also tells us there. 102 at the bottom, from the book in Spanish, he says, now, the Lamb, in the time of intercessory back here, he knew that there were names in there that was put in there from the foundation of the world, and as long as them names have never been manifested on earth as yet, he has to stay there as an intercessor. On the left he writes future, and he also writes last one enter, meaning the last one who comes in, and on the left a cornerstone in the ages. Do you get it? Perfectly. Predestination, see? All right. He had to stay there because he came to die for those that God had ordained to eternal life. See? See? By his foreknowledge, he saw them, not by his own will. At the bottom, he writes there, the intercession until the last one enters. The intercession until the last one enters. His will was that none would perish, but by his foreknowledge, he knew who would and who would not. Therefore, as long as there was one name hadn't never yet been declared in earth, Christ has to stay there as an intercessor to take care of that name. And he writes on the right, last, future. But as soon as that final name had been splashed in that Clorox or bleach, and he writes there bleach on the right, then his intercessory days was over. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that's holy, he is holy still. See? And he leaves the sanctuary, and then it becomes a judgment seat. And there he draws on the right a cornerstone and the arrow towards the cornerstone and the ages. Woe unto those outside of Christ then. Now, notice, but it is to be revealed when the Lamb leaves his intercessory place from the Father. Now, that's Revelation 5. And there to the right he writes, future. And he also writes, in the future. Now, he takes the book of seals, or a book sealed with seals, breaks them and shows them. Look at the end of the age now. After the intercessory is over, the church ages has done finished up. And he come in the first age, the Ephesian age, revealed, sent the messenger. In a Bible study, next to that excerpt they place for him there, he writes there, they will be revealed when the Lamb comes out of the mercy seat. When will they be revealed? When he comes out of the mercy seat. If it is when he comes forth from the throne of intercession, of the mercy seat, to make his claiming work, well, it is not that he comes out and immediately does his claiming work. He comes out of the throne of intercession, he comes out of the mercy seat, and then all those things are revealed. Therefore, he has to have that instrument, which the one who received that title did is seen there in Revelation chapter 10, and he is told to prophesy before many peoples, nations, and tongues. In other words, there is a period of time there. Now, we are going to continue here. Our brother William continues to say, and the period of time between when John heard the call for a person to come forward and open the book until he came forward and took the book and opened it pertains to our time from the beginning of the call until that call ends. And Christ takes the title deed, which will be when the mystical body of Christ is completed with the last elect of God. What time period is our brother William referring to here that we were living when he was here? Well, we were living in the time when that call was being made, the time when someone was called to take the book. Therefore, we were living in the dispensation of grace. Because the dispensation of the kingdom would begin when he left the throne of intercession, took the book, brought it to earth, gave it to a man, and that man began to prophesy, to speak, to make known the mystery of the seven thunders, which we were told would be made known in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. Now notice, in a writing of a Bible study, he writes there, the sea, the lake, etc., equals peoples, nations, and tongues. The fish equals the people, the children of God, Christianity, typified in those fish in the Pisces era in the dispensation of grace. The net equals the gospel of Christ. The catch equals, and there on the catch equals, he doesn't write anything. The angels equals Moses and Elijah. The selection by the angels, because there is a selection of the elect and what is tares. Who does that? The reaping angels do that, which in the book of quotations on page 141, that's where he tells us about that work. Page 141, paragraph 1260. Notice in verse 41, Matthew 13, the two also very close, so close in the last days, till he didn't do. He could not depend on some certain church to separate them. In other words, no church, whether Baptist, Presbyterian, which is what he's about to say, no church, and even the ones of our time, none of them will say, this is right and this is wrong. No one can say this one is wheat and this one is tares. No one can say this is foolish. This is one of the 144,000. This is this and these are lost. No church, no minister, nor any church can decide that, nor point to this or that one or the other. But notice who can. He could not depend on some certain church to separate them. Say, the Methodist, or the Baptist, or the Pentecostals, to separate them. He said, he sends his angels, and he draws a cornerstone on the right, to separate them. An angel is coming to bring the separation, the segregation between the right and the wrong, and no one can do that but the angel of the Lord. No one. What are they doing talking and saying that this is how it is, that this is not how it is, that Benji said this over in the tent, that Jose Benjamin said this over here, that he said that this or said that other thing. When he says that no one can, that includes you. In other words, you shouldn't be speaking that way, because the only one who can carry out that separation is the angel of the Lord. And then, if you do not have the ministries of Moses and Elijah, why do you speak to the people that way if you're a minister? What are you doing by telling them those things? Then, if it's not the ministry of Moses and Elijah that's in you, then what spirit do you have? Where did that spirit come from? He is the one that's going to tell which is right and which is wrong, and he draws a cornerstone on the right. God said that he will send his angels at the last time, not angels down through here, but angels at the last time, and would gather together, because he also carries out that gathering in that segregation, that separation. He carries out that gathering. And he draws another cornerstone on the right. We know that this is the coming harvest time now. Now, an angel is actually interpreted a messenger. And we see that there's seven angels of the seven churches. And now, no, through the church ages. And here to the left he writes reaping. And upwards he writes Saint Matthew. And he also writes Matthew 24:31, Matthew 24:31 on 13, a colon, Revelation 22:16, 22:6, 1:1, 11 from 3-6 and 7 verse 2. This the angel, the ministries of Moses and Elijah are also there. And at the top he writes, in the separation, he will send his angels, Moses and Elijah, the gathering and the harvest. Now, in the writing, let's continue here. He says, the selection by the angels, the end of the century equals end of the dispensation of grace. I will read this writing again, which is above that subject that of that Bible study that was Jesus Christ as a fisherman. It was the Bible study on that occasion. And the scripture that he had is the scripture that we read today, Luke 5 from 1 to 11. And above he writes, the sea, the lake, etc. equals peoples, nations, and tongues. The fish equals the people, the children of God. Christianity typified in those fish in the Pisces era in the dispensation of grace. The net equals the gospel of Christ. The catch equals, and there he doesn't write anything next to it, the angels equals Moses and Elijah, the selection by the angels. And it continues, and below, the end of the century equals end of the dispensation of grace. And our brother William goes on to say here, in the message that I am reading, greetings to ministers and collaborators, the opportunity will then open for the foolish virgins and for the 144,000 Hebrews who will see Christ manifested in His church in all His fullness in the ministry of the last day, where the ministries of Moses and Elijah will be in full operation, and great miracles and wonders and signs will be performed. And notice, that is why in this writing, look, that he left for us, because we find that in the life of Jesus, there was another miraculous catch of fish, which we see there in John chapter 21. Look. John chapter 21. Because this was already after Jesus resurrected. Now, look at something very beautiful here and revealing, because look, in this writing, when he left this writing in this notebook that says 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-10, when the one who is letteth is taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. And who is the one who letteth? The Holy Spirit, who has been in the midst of the ages under the dispensation of grace. He is taken away. Now, notice, this is parallel to what happened here in chapter 21 of John, which, let's see there, the writing that he left for us in that, in the Bible. It continues to say in the writing, the Holy Spirit will be taken from the earth, from among the Gentiles, and will ascend, and will come incarnate in a man. Now, we see that on page 146 of the Book of the Seals, where he tells us, let's read it directly, 146 of the Book of the Seals in Spanish, and at the same time that this devil falls out of heaven and becomes incarnate in a man, the Holy Spirit goes up and comes down incarnate man, and he writes above that in all his fullness. And there is a little bit faded out, but the scriptures, Revelation 7, 2 and 11 from 3 to 7. Now, those are the ministries of Moses and Elijah. There we see the angel with the seal of the living God. Now, it goes on to say, will come incarnate in a man to reveal himself to Israel. Christ in Holy Spirit comes incarnate in a man. Now, remember that the Spirit of God returns to Israel in a man. We see that in Ezekiel chapter 37. Christ in Holy Spirit comes incarnate in a man. And then there will be a confrontation between Christ and the Antichrist, the man of sin, the wicked one, the son of perdition, the son of Satan, in whom Satan will be incarnated. Now, notice. Notice what it tells us here in John chapter 21, verse 1 and on. Look, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise he showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. There it is again, the night, which we see in the first catch in that story, when Peter told Jesus that they had been working all night under the seven ages. But when the morning was now come, he writes on the side, in the Bible he writes, fourth watch, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus, and he writes there, Revelation 10 from 1 to 11. Now, with the little book open in his hand, he doesn't eat it, he brings it to earth, he gives it to a man, then he appears to the church, and many cannot recognize that it is the Lord, that it is the Holy Spirit that God had taken away from the ages, but that now has come in flesh. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And here he writes, Latin America and the Caribbean. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it from the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coal there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up, and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Now, on the left he writes, 153 big fish. And he writes there, type and figure of what the third pool will be. Now, notice, this is what happened there. Jesus was removed from among them. But notice, after he carried out the same one that carried out that catch during the ages in the night, we now see him in the fourth watch in the age of the cornerstone, the same Holy Spirit carrying out that catch which Brother Branham tried to do in the dispensation of grace. But notice, it is now a reality in the dispensation of the kingdom, the age of the cornerstone. And that shows us there what would be happening in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. It was in a new age, in a new dispensation, that those big fish would be caught. Type and figure of what the third pool will be. He writes there. Now, something interesting here is that in the net of Luke chapter 5, there he says that on verse 6, it says, And their net break. With those fish, remember that there were all kinds of fish there. And from those, notice, the work that the Holy Spirit does at this time, from all of that, now, it was breaking because there were good fish there, and there were also bad fish. That is what pertains to that scripture of Matthew chapter 13, that they take it to the shore, and put the good in baskets and cast the bad out. There is that net that broke. But however, we see here in this net that the net didn't break. Therefore, that catch that is being carried out at this end time is not to then once again be selected from within what is caught, but that net is already filled up to the brim with the big fish, with the 153 fish. The chosen of God are represented there, the church bride, and also the 144,000. Now, let's continue. It says, Jesus says unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Now, we have seen in these brief moments what God has allowed us to see in what we've read. Under this subject, casting the net based on the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that up to here is good for today. Let's stand and let's live in this subject, casting the net based on the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, our dear brother and friend, Dr.
William Soto Santiago.